Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Oftentimes I wonder whether or not the climate today, how it compares, meaning the political climate, to other time periods in our country's history. And are we beyond repair at the present time? Joining us on the line is Ron Fauché, political analyst and president of the Claris Research Group. Ron, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Noel. Happy to be here.
Ron, I'm looking at some of the most recent polling that you have in your Lunchtime Politics publication that you put out, and about Trump and the Congress and whether or not, the Americans really believe that Congress should stand up to the president against his policies, and others that say that there ought to be reach compromise. And it seems as though it's equally split in this country.
Yeah, it is. It's split 48-48. Now, 83% of Democrats think Congress should stand up against President Trump, and 51% of independents say so, but only 7% of Republicans think Congress should stand up to him, which is something that you would expect.
And, I mean, isn't that the byproduct of being the ruling party, meaning, you win the elections, to the victor goes the spoils. The president made certain promises, some of which he's been able to keep, some of which he can't. As it relates to the border wall, we seem to be stuck on the issue that he promised that Mexico was going to pay for it. I keep saying that I was one that wasn't naive enough to believe that they were going to actually sit down and write a check and transfer funds electronically to the U.S. Treasury, that it was going to come in other ways. But he actually made a lot of these statements and assertions during the campaign.
Well, he certainly did, and many voters voted for him because of that. But I think the problem with the wall is something that is actually pretty simple. And, obviously there's a political problem. The Republicans have made the point that the wall is a national security issue, and the Democrats are making the point that the wall is a racist symbol. And so they're both stuck in that. But one of the problems in terms of actually looking at a wall, because we already have hundreds of miles of walls. In the past, Democratic presidents have supported using walls and fencing along the border. So it's not like it's such a radically new idea. But the problem I have with what the president has done or is doing is that he has no plan for the wall. He's never really told the American people, how much the wall will cost, where does the wall go, how will it be supplemented by technology and drones. It could be like if the mayor of the city said, "Well, I want you to give me, $5 billion for infrastructure, but I'm not going to tell you where it's going to go, how it's going to be spent, when it's going to be spent, and how it's going to work out." And I think it's surprising for somebody like Trump, who is in the building business and who has been a real estate developer, not to be able to come up with a full-fledged presentation on how the wall would be built, where it would be built, why it's needed in those points.
And I think that's what's reflected, as you said, in a number of the poll numbers, because I don't think that there's been, and I said this yesterday, I don't believe that he's really strong in strategic planning. I think he likes to shoot from the hip, off the cuff, likes to play on emotion, is always sticking his finger, on his tongue and then putting it up and seeing which way the wind blows, and that's where he is for the day.
Well, I think that is true, unfortunately. Right now we have a White House that has, in effect, an acting chief of staff. We have no Secretary of Defense. The Attorney General is acting, although there is an appointee now going before Congress. And so there's a lot of things from a management standpoint that leaves a lot to be desired.
So do you, you know, we're now in the 26th day of this government shutdown, and you know, a lot of the economists are saying we have just about surpassed what the actual ask is for the $5.7 billion for this plan, and I use that term loosely. You know, at what point, and I was struck by a comment that Cory Booker said, I think it was yesterday or the day before, to Secretary Nielsen from DHS, and he quoted Martin Luther King. He says, "Nothing more dangerous in this country than sincere ignorance and conscientious stupidity." When I think about that, I think about this checks and balance system and the fact that, you know, we don't really have any adults, any intellects working through this process.
Well, you know, I think a lot of the adults and the intellects have sort of thrown their hands up and walked away. And that's a shame, because it's all about politics now. And they've now got it to a point where if you go one way, you know, you're against border security. And if you go another way, you're for, you know, a racist wall. And it shouldn't be like that. The Congress should be able to at this stage of the game, take this issue, frankly, away from the president and say, you know, we're going to resolve this in the interest of the country. And that means stronger border security, perhaps having a wall, but you know, fighting on this battle as a standalone battle, not shutting the government down in the process. You know, shutting things down like this is just bad business. I mean, it's not good for the country.
You know, as you said, and no pun intended, if Congress played the Trump card and they forced the president to either veto or not a reasonable, logistical plan that makes sense about border security, doing a little bit of all of the above, barriers, you know, drones, enhanced personnel, the whole thing, I really believe that Congress could come out of this shining. And it would not be viewed as Republican Democrat, you know, partisan, and just
right. Sure.
And I think you're right.
I'm
following your lead. I think you're exactly right. I mean, I thought, you know, that's a great opportunity for them at this time.
Well, I think it's a great opportunity for both sides, because it gives the Republicans an opportunity to get something done on increasing border security, which is what they want. And it also gives Democrats an opportunity to show that they are in fact for border security. And in terms of the messaging of this recent politics, more and more voters are becoming convinced that the Democrats are for open borders and don't want to secure the border. And the Democrats have allowed themselves to fall into that trap. So something like what we're talking about here would actually give both parties an opportunity to strengthen their hand. It's amazing they don't see it that way.
And what kind of struck me is Donald Trump the best messenger? Because in your Lunchtime Politics, there's a poll question here that says, would you say that Donald Trump is honest or not? And only 34% of the respondents say they believe Donald Trump's honest, and 61% say they don't believe him.
Yeah, and that is one of the problems of over time, when you're exaggerating things and not always telling the truth and not always getting the facts straight, it accumulates. And I would point out that when 34% say they think the president is honest, that means there's a significant number of people in this country who voted for Donald Trump, who approve of his job performance, but who also don't think he's being honest. And over time, you know, how long can that last? And, you know, I'm not here on the program today to take sides and to beat up on one side or not. But the point is that, you know, when you're governing a country, you need to have some element of credibility with the whole country.
Well, that's the very
not just with people who voted for you.
That's the cornerstone of credible leadership, right?
It is. And look, You could have said the same thing about Democratic presidents too over time.
Oh, sure,
you
absolutely.
Know, sure.
But I mean, this is just right now a snapshot in time, that number. So when I look at that number, it kind of indicates to me that he's got a difficult road to hoe to convince people about anything, whether it be the border wall or whether or not the sky's blue tomorrow.
Well, I think that's true. And, you know, one of the unfortunate things that happened a couple of weeks ago is Vice President Pence had worked out a deal, as I understood, to come up with about $2 billion for the wall. And a lot of the Democrats were willing to go with it. And it was probably a blueprint to get it done. And then the White House pulled the rug from under him. So clearly there is an opportunity to build, you know, the enough support for it. But the problem now is too many Democrats want to keep this going to blame Trump, and too many Republicans won't stand up to the White House and say, you know, if you can't come up with a position that can work, we have to take it away from you because it's the legislative's prerogative anyway to do it.
What a mess we've got ourselves into, and I'm just, my curiosity is so piqued as to who's going to stand up and get us out of it. And I really believe that the number one draft choice for that is Mitch McConnell. And I think if Mitch McConnell stands up and does the right thing, we can resolve this issue. That's just my take.
I agree. He's got the power and the position to do it.
Absolutely. Ron Fauché, thank you so much for your time, and always enjoy your insight. Your pick on Sunday?
I don't even have to say it. I don't even have to
out
say it.
Out of left field, it's obvious, right?
The Saints all the way.
All right.
Thanks. This is a nervous time for all of us.
Absolutely. So have a great weekend.
We have to stick with it. Bye-bye. Thanks.
Thank you, man. We'll be right back after the break. Stay with us. This is Newell on WWL. On the text line, Democrats are not against border security. They are against wasting money on a wall that would merely put a Band-Aid on the problem. We are smarter than this. I don't know if I can go along with that at all, because they voted for enhanced border security and barrier and actually supported fencing, 700-plus miles of it, and actually funded it before. The same people now are against the wall. So they're not smarter than this. For those of you that are naive enough to believe this is not just a political tug of war, plain and simple, you're sadly mistaken. Same person text about, you know, the popularity of Nancy Pelosi. She's polling at 35% positive and 48% unfavorable. Chuck Schumer's at 26% positive and 40% negative. And Mitch McConnell's at 21% positive and 45% negative. None of these folks are polling very strongly. In fact, Schumer, amongst Democrats, is at 51% positive. So just a bare, simple majority on the Democrats' feeling about Schumer. Pelosi's doing much better, and I think a lot of that has to do with the House races that were won, whether or not they're still arguing over whether it was a blue wave or not. I don't think it really matters, but I think she's been the beneficiary of some of that. But her numbers, I suspect, over the coming weeks are going to begin to slide because the political partisanship and you know, folks, we just got to look at it for what it is. We got to stop staring the obvious in the face and walking around it. This whole thing about the president's address on the State of the Nation, does anybody really believe that that just wasn't some political ploy? They didn't want to give him an audience, plain and simple. You put the invitation out there and then you take it back? You want to talk about acting like an adult? They didn't even communicate with Secret Service or DHS on the security issue, and they made that the central excuse for uninviting the president to come to Congress? These are silly games. I feel like we're being governed by teenagers. I'm looking for the adult to stand up. And then the audacity for them to look into the camera and try and justify this stuff, knowing full well that they never talk to anyone about security. Are you kidding me? If that's the case, then why aren't we just shutting down all of these offices in Washington? because a number of these same organizations are not fully funded. But yet they're free to meet. That's all that is a meeting of both chambers in one chamber. And all of a sudden, now we can't have it because we have security concerns. Come on already. Let's go to line one. Chuck on line one. What say you, Chuck?
How you doing, Mr. Norman?
Doing great.
You know, I've been paying attention to all of this. You were head of an organization, and basically, as the adage goes, leadership flows from the top down, right?
Sure.
Personality, attitude, all of that flows from the top down. And to me, it's an absolute insult. It's a disgrace. It's an embarrassment to me, just personally. These are my personal sentiments mm-hmm. as an American, that the representative that we have in the highest seat in our land is acting and giving down this type of attitude that, yes, it is being, whether it's emulated or politics or whatever, but it's flowing from the top down. We forget that as Americans, that's an elected position. This is not a totalitarian type state.
Yeah, but
his word,
Chuck, I hear what you're saying, but let me ask you this question. And Ron Fauché brought up, I think, a very important point and right on point, quite frankly. Congress can act amongst themselves. Send a bill to the president and put the onus on him, veto or not veto, sign it or not. So it's more than just the administration. The administration's burden with a federal bureaucracy that you know, even the most effective, credible leaders are not going to be able to move that needle, because that is something that has been complained about for a long, long time.
Okay, so are you saying that Congress can just basically, in effect, write a bill that he can veto or not in terms of reopening the government?
They can pass it together on border wall, the whole situation, everything, and force his hand.
Border wall, but again,
I'm just putting it all in the jambalaya of stuff. They can do it all. They don't need the president to go and pass this.
I know you're about to go to a break, and I wish I could hang on.
Hang on. I'll come back to you outside the break. I mean, that's not a problem at all. Just hang on, Chuck. We'll come back to you. You know, and that's the point, and I think it was a point well made by Ron Fauché, talking about the fact that they can do this on themselves, and they can put the pressure on the president one way or the other. And I'll say this again. I think Mitch McConnell is the one individual in a position right now to make the ultimate difference. When he says he's not going to pass anything that the president will not sign, in other words, for the sake of the exercise, maybe they need to go through the exercise in order to break down some of the barriers in communication between the R's, the D's, and the I's. We'll be right back after the break. On a text line, Newell, the irony is that Pelosi is claiming a security issue for a joint meeting with the Houses of Congress while the whole stalemate regards the security of the nation. Absolutely. I mean, you know, and that's how ridiculous this move is that she's, you know, engaged in. And that's why a lot of people, I think, are seeing through this particular issue. And I don't understand. You know, a number of people are saying anybody who supports Trump, you know, can't really talk about whether or not there are any adults in the room. You know, part of the problem is that folks are not really separating policy and supporting policies of the administration as opposed to supporting the candidate himself. And I think there are a lot of us that support a number of the policies that are put forth, but not necessarily embracing the conduct of the president. Now, whether we like it or not, the president is the president. And I think at the end of the day, what matters, at least for me, is the fact of the best interests of the nation. Plain and simple. We'll go to line one and talk to Chuck. Chuck, welcome to the show.
Hey, yeah, thank you so much for coming back to
yes.
the man. You know, the issue is in that while you're trying to respect the position, what's coming from the position is just very, very, very difficult to tolerate and deal with. It truly is.
There's no doubt, Chuck, there's a lot coming that's hard to swallow.
We're human beings.
Yeah.
Right? We're human beings. So when you talk about people who are being, you know, asked to put themselves in harm's way for free because you're not going to pay them, and the reason why you're not paying them is because you're basically saying, this is how I want to play the game, and if I don't get my rules, I'm going to take my ball and go home.
But isn't it more than just him playing? Let's be honest. Isn't it just more than him that's playing the game?
No, they're all playing the game.
They're all playing the game. What he said was, if you send me a bill without the border wall funding, I'm going to veto it. That's how this works.
And guess what? If I'm someone who's paying attention to the folks who are giving me the information saying, listen, a wall, while we're talking about border security, he's hardlined to a wall fixture.
Well, he's already said not necessarily a wall. It can be a fence. It can be a slat fence.
But basically saying the same thing. We're saying no matter what you call it, I want this hard border.
He wants a barrier.
He wants a barrier, whether you call it a wall or not, okay? The professionals on the ground are saying, while he's saying this is why we need the barrier, they're saying, listen, if you're trying to use drugs and these other and criminals and other folks and things like that, they're saying, they're letting you know, here are the deficiencies, that only 25% of the narcotics that are coming across the water, only 25% are being stopped because we need more resources there. More drugs are actually coming at the actual border crossings.
Right.
Which means,
but if you
you're
missing the point about what the experts are saying. They're saying if we put more impediments in the more remote areas, we can move our human capital assets to the port of entry. And one builds on the other. It's not one to the exclusion of the other.
Because
no one, you're not listening. That's exactly what they're saying. The Democrats have said this is an either or proposition. The experts are saying, no, it's not either or. Costly proposition to put up a barrier. But the barrier builds upon any number of issues. And that's what the experts are saying. The experts have also said, look, the Democrats voted for barriers. Not too many years ago, they voted for barriers under the Obama administration, Bush administration, under the Secure Fence Act.
Here's the issue.
The empirical data shows over 90% reduction in illegal crossings where there's a barrier. Now, I've not heard one person from the Democrats provide empirical data to contradict what the experts in Border Patrol has said relative to those illegal crossings.
Actually, I'm listening to all this information, and I think that the elephant in the room is that he's saying, okay, listen, I want this thing, but you guys won't have to pay for it. I was listening to you very closely on yesterday, and I thought about this, okay? If your cable provider, Mr. Norman, said, we're going to increase your cable package, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And at no cost to you, now you're listening to their language. This is their words. At no cost to you, we're going to pay for it, all right?
Right.
But then the next month, you look at your bill, and you find all of these fees and so forth, and it's actually coming out of your pocket. You call your cable company, and they say, you tell them, wait a minute, I thought you said I wasn't going to have to pay for this. And they come back and say, well, that's not exactly what we said.
Well, the question is, do you still desire the package? My opinion is, I still desire the wall.
No,
Whether Mexico pays for it or not, the barrier, the barrier, even if we have to pay the increased cost.
Are you saying you wouldn't have a problem with someone telling you one thing?
He was wrong. He was wrong. He did not deliver on it. Why he keeps saying that he is, I mean, for those that really thought that Mexico was going to write a check, he was wrong. Okay? Because I never thought Mexico would write a check.
So the bottom line is, okay, if we're going to use our own money to enhance our security.
Ooh, that's a terrible thing. Our own money to enhance our security. We're doing that every day.
But again, right, and so no one's disputing that fact. The argument
that's not what it sounds like to me.
The argument simply is whether or not your hardline wall is going to be the answer, or do we actually need a more comprehensive plan? That's all.
My online wall or barrier, in my opinion, will lend itself to success more so than no barrier at all.
Did you know this?
Plain and simple. Chuck, I gave you a lot of time. I got to get to a break. I'm sorry. I don't mean to cut you off, but I got to get to this break. We'll be right back. This is Newell on WWL. On a text line, take $5.6 billion, scrap the wall, put up a human wall. You can hire 40,000 homeless vets as border guards at $46,000 a year for the next 3 years. You can place one every 264 feet along the border. 3 years. I really want national security in perpetuity. Not 3 years. Short-term thinking gets you in nothing but trouble, and that's why we're in the debacle and the mess that we're in right now. Unless we create a crisis in Congress, in the short term, we get nada, nothing. No forward thinking, no real solutions to long-term problems. National security is not going to go away in my lifetime or anybody else's lifetime. Let's go to Jay on Esplanade. What say you, Jay?
Hello.
Yeah, Jay, welcome to the show.
Yes. I think a lot of folks are kind of confused about this because of all the language being tossed around. What the president is trying to get, basically, a blank check through extortion. He wants $5.6 billion for something called the wall, but there is no plan for this. And he came in at the end of the budget process when they passed a continuing resolution that would have given him $1.6 billion for border security, including barrier things. And he left that sitting on the table. So I don't think they should approve this the way he's doing it. If he wanted to present a plan, then we would know what we're voting for. He talks about a different way.
But, Jay, doesn't he have the right to veto the same thing if he doesn't approve what Congress sends him?
Sure, he can go ahead and veto it.
Right, that's the very nature. That's the very nature of the impasse. I mean, you know,
he didn't veto it though.
No, because they didn't send it. Okay, and that's the point that I was making earlier. It's now time for Congress to stand up after the 26th day of this, and we've now, the economy has now suffered an amount greater than what the ask was, $5.7 billion, in moving forward. I agree with you. I think there should be a more detailed plan. It is one of the issues that can be negotiated. He's already said, all right, you don't want a wall? We'll go back to the steel slats that we have on the border in some of the areas right now. The fencing that they have on the border, I've been told, is about 6 or 7 or maybe even 8 or 9 different types. There's not any consistency because of the piecemeal basis in which they've approached this situation.
So, again, why should he get $5.6 billion for something that hasn't been explained? I mean, and especially the way he's done it, you know, the way he's done this. Because if he gets it this time, he'll come back again and try to do this again.
Well, he's definitely coming back because the overall package is about $25 billion before it's all said and done, with enhanced drones, enhanced personnel, enhanced screening and scanning at the ports of entry, and everything else that goes along with it. I mean, you know, We're talking around the same issue. At some point, everybody has got to give, and the whole theory of compromise is what comes out, no one is really 100% in favor of.
Of course, but my point is that
I mean, if you lived your marriage, are you married? Are you married, Jay?
No, I'm not.
But you know, in a marriage, I dare say anyone gets 100% of what they desire. Otherwise, it's not going to be much of a relationship. It'll be contentious. It'll be everything that we're seeing right now. And what we're seeing right now is that everyone wants what they want now to the detriment of the other. And that's the most operative word there, detriment to the other. And that's why we're in a stalemate. I can't believe that any—
He caused the shutdown, and he should not be allowed—
When you say he, that everybody says he. There's more than one player here.
Didn't he say that if they didn't agree to what he was demanding back in December, when the Republicans still controlled Congress, he was going to cause a shutdown? He'd proudly own it.
Everybody, and I've heard that over and over. I've heard that over and over again.
The
Republicans control Congress. Let's make it clear. The Republicans needed 60 votes in the Senate. They don't have 60 votes. They've never had 60 Republicans under his administration. So, yes, they were in control of both houses, but they didn't have the necessary votes. They needed Democrats to come over and vote for it as well. This is a shared responsibility.
They couldn't get the votes. Until the end, the House Republicans couldn't pass it either. And then
he had difficulty.
Ryan, and they passed a bill that had $5.6 billion with very vague language in it. It didn't really say what it was for, but
no different than any other bill. When Nancy Pelosi talked about Obamacare, and I've been in favor of Medicaid expansion. We didn't read it. We'll read it after we pass it.
She actually didn't say that.
Or something along those lines.
Let's leave that for now. It's a myth, but I know lots of people have heard it, obviously.
I saw the YouTube video of it. I mean, I heard her say what she said. They didn't really know what was in that bill. That's Congress every day.
Out of a longer paragraph. But the sentence, when it's taken
does it make it any less meaningful? We'll agree to disagree, Jay, on this. This is a shared responsibility. And if we can't agree on that, then we just don't understand the principles of a republic in action. And that's how this whole thing is set up. And that's why I keep saying I'm waiting for the adult to walk into the room. Got to get to a break, Jay. Thank you so much for calling in. We'll be right back. Stay with us. This is Newell on WWF. On the text line, $5.7 billion should go to Flint, Michigan, where there's a real crisis going on. But, oh, wait, look who's that affecting. You know, that is a complete failure, and that was a crisis that we can't even deliver the basic necessity of water. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? But the fact of the matter is that it is a shared responsibility, because I can't remember the last time that a Republican was actually the elected leader in Flint, Michigan. Are we staring the obvious in the face and walking around it yet again? Let's go to Ron in the Marigny. What say you, Ron?
Hey, Sheriff.
Yes, sir.
Good day to you. Four quick points.
Yes, sir.
We need more border guards.
Check.
Down there. They're shy on them. Ground penetrating radar. We use it in Vietnam to deal with the tunnels.
Check.
More patrol boats.
Check.
And then drones and sophisticated technology. I think those are things that we need.
Yep. But no barrier.
And Sheriff, I want to thank you for training so many fine individuals. You sure are great.
Well, thank you, sir. I appreciate that observation. I think, though, you know, Ron, you forgot barrier there. You know, it's interesting in a military operation. I said this earlier. When you set up a compound, what's one of the first things they do? They set up barriers.
That's right.
You know, and for the safety and security of themselves. And when we think of ourselves, the nation at hand, when we have a threat assessment that the experts have said, whether it's drugs, human trafficking, terrorism, people that are illegally crossing into this country, it seems as though a barrier might be a reasonable response. Just my opinion. Thank you so much, Ron, for calling in.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.